morning. My name is Bryn Giolu, and I'm a member of the Committee on Women's Rights. I have the honor today of introducing our moderator and one of the speakers, Ms. Constance Jackson. Ms. Jackson is the 2015 to 2017 chair of the Committee on Women's Rights at APHA. Ms. Jackson is the Chief Executive and Innovation Officer and founding member of Media Health Technologies, LLC, a patient engagement healthcare technology company. For over 15 years, Ms. Jackson was the general manager and partner of Kennedy Medical Center in Los Angeles. As president, CEO, and founder of Permanent Productions Incorporated in Los Angeles, Ms. Jackson wrote, directed, and produced four feature-length documentary films on teen violence, on the civil rights protests of the 1940s and 50s, and on the abolitionist movement of the 19th century America. Excerpts of three of her films have been shown at the APHA film festivals. A book she authored on the great 19th century abolitionist, Lydia Maria Child, is housed in the U.S. Supreme Court's library, and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, purchased one of Ms. Jackson's documentaries and sent a letter thanking her for producing the film on the life and times of Lydia Maria Child. The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors presented Ms. Jackson a proclamation recognizing her amazing production of Maria Child's life as a literary propagandist for Indian rights and Black freedom in America. Ms. Jackson is an invited speaker at universities, organizations, and community groups in California and New York on subjects addressed in her films and on becoming agents of change. Community service has been an important aspect of Ms. Jackson's life as well. She has had leadership roles in NGOs as a past president of Seroptimist International of Los Angeles and the past education chair for the Seroptimist International Region and the past state coordinator of public relations for the California National Organization for Women. Ms. Jackson earned her bachelor's degree in speech communication and a minor in health sciences from California State University, Northridge, and her master's degree in public health, specializing in social and behavioral sciences from Capella University in Minnesota. Ms. Jackson's passion for empowering people stems from her early role as a communicator for her deaf mother in clinical settings when Ms. Jackson was just 10 years old. Over the years, Ms. Jackson has mentored young people across income levels. Ms. Jackson is happily married for over 20 years and has two loving sons and two loving pooches. She enjoys classical music across genres, playing congas, and collecting black dolls as pastimes. Please join me in welcoming Constance Jackson.
Well, thank you, Borodia, for that great introduction. First, I think I have to put up the little slide that says I have no conflict of interest. No conflict of interest. I'm not selling services or products. So let me go back up if I can. No, I can't. Don't look at that, okay? You know, I must say, as I look back and look forward at some of the things that I have created and I'm doing now, I truly have been fortunate. I've been blessed. But for the mentors and role models whom challenged me to excel on my own terms, I do not think I would be where I am today. I thought it was important to have Beringia flesh out some of some of my experiences to share with you how I used my own money, my time, and talent to make a difference in people's lives, marching to my own drumbeat when the odds were seemingly against me. My role today is twofold, as your moderator and as your presenter. I first would like to thank the other presenters on this panel for participating today, and of course, thank you all for attending this session. Before we get started, I'd like to quickly introduce my team members on the Committee on Women's Rights. I'm not sure if all the members are here. I know Beringia, is Kim here yet? It seems like you're probably the only one, but please Just introduce yourself and say what you do in your excuse me, I have a cold that I'm getting over, so please forgive me. In your profession. Thank you. Since the founding of the Committee on Women's Rights in 1971, women's issues have evolved on the national platform, and not surprisingly, so has this committee. As program planner for the past 3 years, and now the chair, we have focused on bringing to every conference quality research presentations that address tough women's issues, such as reproductive rights and freedoms, rape, sex trafficking, mental health, poverty, violence against women, education and child care, family health, female teens' sexual health, access to affordable housing, access to healthy foods and green space, the impact of incarceration on the family, and a host of other issues women face navigating within a male-dominant structure. This year's conference theme, Health in All Policies, is bringing to the forefront conversations that are needed about the importance of top-down leadership across agencies and organizations for leaders to look inward and to purge internal policies that perpetuate discrimination against women and people of color, and to replace them with just policies that will improve the health of the nation. Our invited session today is about women breaking barriers, becoming influencers to change the status quo. Let me ask you, did you know that 65% of APHA's members were women? Well, look around in this room. Do you think women in public health represent 65% of management and top leadership in public health? I'm glad I got some responses on that. Well, I'm asking you because I don't know, and I could not find in the on the internet any references to, you know, the percentage of women leadership in public health. But when I was an intern at the LA County Department of Public Health, I noticed there was an awful lot of women in management. But let's look at some national surveys about perceptions of men ceding power to women. In the last decades of the 20th century, due to women and some men advocating for women's rights in the 60s and 70s, there was considerable progress for women in professional fields in the U.S. that showed promise. The gender wage gap narrowed from 59 cents to 77 cents on the dollar. Gender segregation in most professions has greatly declined, particularly in law, medicine, and government and public health. And we've seen more women in management. But as we made steady progress in the workplace, according to Forbes magazine, our progress began to decline in the 90s and 2000s. And then in the recent years, the percentage of women in top management positions and on corporate boards has literally stalled. The gap has widened, and yet this slide, now you can look, notes that women are 50.8% of the U.S. population. We earn almost 60% of undergraduate degrees and 60% of all master's degrees. We earn 47% of all degrees and 48% of all medical degrees. We earn more than 44% of master's degrees in business and management, including 37% of MBAs. We are 47% of the U.S. labor force and 59% of the college-educated entry-level jobs. It is obvious that these high numbers, these high percentages, are not reflected in top leadership. So, what is the problem? Well, I posted what I perceive to be the problem on my LinkedIn page, but it is too lengthy to start here, to state here, other than to say that it is clear that most men, consciously or subconsciously, are in fear that women are going to take over the world. Thus, patriarchy must persist, keeping the majority of women subjugated as lower to mid-level managers or workers and as homemakers. Well, what do you think pragmatically is holding women back? A Pew Research Center conducted a survey of over 1,800 people, randomly selected, in June of 2014 on their perceptions on why women are held back from top jobs. Some of the findings may be of no surprise to you, but I'd like to share some with you. The percentages reflect the perceptions of both executive-level jobs and political offices. Women are held to higher standards, 43% and 38% respectively. Not ready to hire or elect women leaders, 43% and 37%. Family responsibilities get in the way and leaving little time, 23% and 17%. Women don't have sufficient connections or party support, 20% and 27%. Women are not tough enough, 9% and 8%. And last, women don't make good managers. And if we are hoping to see a woman president, well, that all depends on the political party than it does gender. 69% of women Democrats say yes. Republican women, 20%, and independents, 45%. 46% of male Democrats say yes, over 16% Republicans, and 32% independents. Another online study on perceptions separated out by gender did not have much of a percentage difference noted between the men and women. So you could look at the totals, but that a woman who wants to reach a top management position in business is better off having children early on in her career, having children later in her career, or not having children at all. Now, why should having children be a factor at all? If better accommodation policies were in place, especially now that most tasks are done by computer, a woman could work at home a few days a week, balancing family with business until she is able to return to the office full time. Then there would be no problem climbing up the leadership ladder. Policies were changed for Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo, to accommodate her family needs. As you can gauge somewhat from my position to tackle inequities, policy change along a continuum of issues is paramount if we're going to realize parity with men. And that is no small feat in a male-dominant society. Women activists who understand the dilemma are at the forefront of making a difference by establishing trade associations, organizations, and think tanks that empower women in business to excel. But I believe one-on-one mentoring is a much faster way to reaching young women who may not have the opportunity or finances to attend power meetings. Mentoring is critical for leadership succession. Mentoring is critical for leadership succession. Let me ask you all a question, including the panelists. Do you remember your first mentor or role model? panelists, when it's your turn to speak, and if you want to share just quickly your thoughts about your first role model or mentor, be it male or female, and quickly state what the person did to progress your career, that would be terrific. For me, I think my mother was my first role model and mentor. A divorced, deaf woman, after 15 years of marriage to my father, who raised alone their 8 children between the ages of 11 months and 15 years old, and I was the youngest. She would not have been able to hold the family together without the support from government assistance programs, support from the church, and support from loving family members and friends that kept us out of abject poverty. I remember my mother as being a trailblazer on behalf of the deaf community, always giving back, being the first to participate in mainstreaming deaf people into meaningful jobs, and being among the first pilot tester for the TTD telephone device for the deaf before it went to market. Observing firsthand how she interacted with people across cultures with dignity and grace made quite an impression on me. Mentoring young girls early on gives them self-worth to navigate life's challenges, to live productive lives as they grow older. And of course, mentoring can also be terrific for mentors because we too are feeling a sense of purpose in life and being valued by others for what we know. I would urge everyone in this room to consider becoming a mentor if you're not one now. For women, our struggle for equality has been a long and trying journey for over 2 centuries in this country, and it is still a struggle for many women in other developed countries. And the pursuit for equality is dismal for women in developing countries. Women leaders in public health who appreciate the challenges women and people of color face and are willing to advocate on our behalf should be recognized in forums like this one. So now, let me introduce our next speaker who will share with you the path she took to accomplish her goals. We will anticipate questions and answers after all speakers have presented. Thank you.